Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second podcast in our series on preparing for the Procurement Act. I'm Jane Bentham, and I'm a partner in our disputes group, and I'm here with Rachel Mallag, a supervising associate in our competition team. Today, we're going to look at awarding public contracts, and we're going to look at key changes suppliers should be aware of in respect of award procedures. So if we start with the basics, Rachel, can you explain the routes by which a contracting authority can make a compliant award under the Act?
Yes, of course. So in effect, a contracting authority can award a public contract via one of three routes. The first, and unsurprisingly, this is very much the default, a public contract can be awarded following a competitive process. Second, a public contract can be awarded directly, that is without a competitive procedure in certain specified circumstances. And thirdly, a public contract can be awarded under a framework agreement that provides for the future award of contracts.
So before we get on to the detail of each of these routes, could you first take us through any key changes at the pre-procurement stage that suppliers should be aware of?
So I think the key thing to be aware of is that the Act introduces a new requirement for larger contracting authorities to publish their commercial pipelines, that is their expected future contracts. And just more specifically on that, contracting authorities that expect to spend more than 100 million on relevant contracts in the financial year ahead will have to publish their pipeline of contracts with an estimated value of more than 2 million, and that's forward looking for 18 months. I think some government departments, for example, the Home Office, are already doing this as a matter of good practice, but I think this is an important change because it puts a kind of statutory obligation to do this for all larger contracting authorities.
And if we move on to competitive awards, how does this route differ under the Act from the current regime?
Yeah, so under the current regime, a contracting authority's competitive process has to conform to one of five different processes. And the Act significantly simplifies things because we'll now only have two kinds of process going forward. So the first is an open procedure. That is a traditional single-stage tendering procedure without restriction on who can submit tenders. And the second is what's called competitive flexible procedure. So that is in essence any other competitive tendering procedure which the contracting authority considers appropriate in the circumstances. And in effect, this will be a multi-stage procedure. And although both kinds of procedures have to be conducted within certain kind of parameters set out in the Act, these are relatively light touch. Just by way of example, the procedure has to be proportionate having regard to the nature, complexity and cost of the contract.
And as regards the direct award of public contracts, how will this work under the Act?
So the Act specifies three means by which a direct award can be made. And the first two are very similar to the existing regime. So the first route essentially permits a contracting authority to make a direct award where what's called a direct award justification applies. These justifications are set out in one of the schedules to the Act, that's Schedule 5, and each justification has its own kind of conditions in terms of when it will apply. Just by way of example, direct award justifications include where there's only one suitable supplier, where the contract concerns additional or repeat goods, services or works, or in cases of extreme and unavoidable urgency. The second route is that a contracting authority can switch to a direct award. So where it's run a competitive process and has not received any suitable tenders, it can proceed to make a direct award. And finally, the third route is a new route. It's set out in Section 42 of the Act. It essentially gives a power for ministers to make regulations which specify public contracts that may be awarded directly. Importantly, that power can only be exercised where the minister considers it necessary either to protect human, animal or plant life or health, or to protect public order or safety. And just for context, the driving kind of force behind this reform is government learnings from the COVID-19 pandemic. And really, this route is intended to ensure that procurements can still be made directly in an emergency event. And it's because while you do have a direct award justification for extreme and unavoidable urgency, that would not cover circumstances where you have an event which is ultimately foreseeable.
And finally, how does the Act regulate the award of public contracts under the framework agreements? What changes does it make to the regime under the PCRs?
So I think the first point to note is that the Act largely preserves the existing closed framework system. There is, however, a significant change with the introduction of a new open framework system, and that's defined as a scheme of frameworks that provides for the award of successive frameworks on substantially the same terms. So this will allow suppliers on an earlier framework to be automatically reappointed to new frameworks at the same time as new suppliers are appointed. So in effect, what you'll have is a longer framework with a maximum term of 8 years, which can then be reopened to the market at defined intervals. And the objective here is really to create opportunities via longer term frameworks, while at the same time mitigating the risk of suppliers being locked out for their duration and the kind of potential negative consequences that could have for competition.
So to wrap up, where do you think these procedural changes are likely to have the most impact for suppliers?
So I think there's broadly two key themes that come out of these reforms. The first is around transparency, and that's really something that government has been focused on throughout the life cycle of procurement, and improving this kind of permeates the entirety of the Act. I think the enhanced transparency measures that we see here do offer opportunities for suppliers. So, for example, the introduction of pipeline notices will give suppliers the chance to identify upcoming procurements early and think about how they can best kind of allocate resources to compete. The second theme is flexibility, by which I mean greater flexibility for contracting authorities in terms of how they design and conduct award procedures. I think it'll be interesting to see how much contracting authorities embrace this flexibility and really design bespoke procedures. But if they do, I think that's going to mean that suppliers in turn have to be quite flexible in terms of adapting to new and unfamiliar processes. So this may be an area where we see legal challenge. And the government certainly seems to be alive to this. And between now and go live date for the new regime has promised detailed guidance and training for contracting authorities on how to best design these processes.